I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Minutes on the timer, and the subject is family.
Quite a broad subject, Windy.
Yeah, it is quite broad, isn't it?
You said family 10 minutes ago. What was you thinking?
So, I mean, it's interesting to compare our two families because they couldn't really be more different, could they? I'm thinking our situations growing up, I was, you know, me, my sister, my mum, my dad, very simple, very straightforward. My parents are still together, have been very happy for my whole life. They're still incredibly close. They do everything together. Yeah, I know. I mean, they're just... I do appreciate how lucky I am if that's the case and how lucky they are that they found someone, that a companion to spend and enjoy their lives with. Plus, they work together. You know, my dad has his own business. My mum was his office manager, secretary, whatever, for a lot of that. That is a testament to a very strong relationship. So I'm incredibly fortunate to have grown up in that situation. Yours couldn't be more different, really. And, you know, you've had a very happy family life as well, but in a different way.
Yeah, my parents split up when I was five. And now I look back, I'm surprised they even got together. But they were quite young, but they're really, really different. And they were young, and it was difficult being a kid, and seeing your parents split. Not that I remember a great deal about it when I was five, but I kind of was acutely aware that something had happened. Like, I remembered my mum just not being there. She left my dad and met someone else, and everything moved quite quickly. And it, you know, stepbrothers started appearing,
That must have been really weird.
That was really hard at the beginning. That was really hard because essentially within a year of it felt like a year and a half, 18 months. At the time I wasn't aware of this, but thinking back, it must have been about that long that my dad moved in with his partner. Now who's still together. They're married, and she had two younger kids. And, you know, they were just a bit older than me and they were bigger than me. And it was difficult because that was my house where my mum lived and my dad, and that was it. And my brothers would come and stay every other weekend and it was great. And then there was just a new family had moved in. It was really hard as a kid. I didn't like it a lot at all, really. And I didn't really like it, any of it. Until...
How long did it take for you to adjust to that and get on with your stepbrothers?
I got on with them, but I wasn't. We're not close. We never. We spent a lot of time together for 10 years. You know, we lived for a lot of that time. I was sharing a bedroom with my brother, a stepbrother, but there was no bond. There was no. They weren't like. I wouldn't consider them my brothers. You know, I don't speak to them. I'm not consciously. I just don't. There's no reason for us to talk to each other, which is weird. If you spent 10 years of your of growing
grew up,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just never happened. I've got to say, it wasn't until I had my own space in my own room that things started to, I felt more comfortable. But I think a lot of my, if I'm being really honest and open, I think I didn't really enjoy a lot of it, really. And then on my mum's side, they had, she met her partner who was, you know, strict and was had like a military background, had a tough life. And because of that, he was very strict. So I wasn't really comfortable in either of those houses for a long time, for being really honest. I'd rather have it been remained the same. And I don't even remember it, really. I'm lucky. I had both my parents. They were both there. They got along. It wasn't acrimonious. They loved me. And they gave, you know, they cared for me. And I had lovely, lovely times. But I don't think there was many days when I wasn't uncomfortable with the fact that I didn't have what other people had in a home that was complete, if you like.
And the thing that strikes me about all of this is the main difference, as far as I can see, is I had... So I was in the same house from the age of 1 to the age of, God, something like 22. So there's a lot of familiarity, a lot of safety, and importantly, I think, a lot of routine. I felt like, and that with routine comes comfort. I constantly felt very comfortable in my surroundings, in what was happening day to day. I was very, very out of my comfort zone at all. It sounds like you were in a very different situation where, you know, you've got people coming and going, you're spending time in different houses with different people, you've got all these new siblings. That must have been, it must lead to a completely different development for you as a person. And it probably explains a lot about why you're like you are and I'm like I am.
Maybe. I think it did have a big impact. You know, you went from having a comfortable upbringing to these... Because boys are, growing up with other boys isn't like growing up with sisters, I'd imagine. I don't know, I don't have a sister, but it was very physical. I remember on...
Confrontational?
Yeah, and I remember maybe on at least between 5 and 6, maybe even as many as 10 occasions, I'd be having physical fights in my house, so at home. It's one thing fighting at school, but fighting at home is like you'd fight, you'd punch each other in the face.
Not play fighting.
No. These were moments, flashpoints that you would end up having to fight. And that is, I was thinking about this the other day, weirdly, even though before I knew we were going to have this conversation. And it was weird. And it probably wasn't that uncommon in the kind of household that we had. It was good. It was healthy, you know, in terms of, we were fed, it was warm, my dad had money, we never went without, we went on holidays every year. So it wasn't like, oh, this is a horrible house. But when we were on our own, arguments would escalate to the point where you'd be having physical confrontations in your own house, in your own bedroom, and then having to spend the next 7 hours of the evening in the room together as well. It was a weird, weird situation sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel incredibly fortunate. My family dynamics was so comfortable. But in a sense, what that has meant is that for many years, I sort of felt, it's weird to say this because it feels unfair on my parents, but I sort of felt slightly repressed. We weren't a very open family for many years. We had moments of openness. You know, I remember when I was being bullied at school, I was very open with my mum, and I remember coming to the end of a particularly bad spell of being psychologically bullied and just sort of breaking down in front of my mum and crying on her shoulder for what felt like hours, but it was probably half an hour. So there was some openness, but I definitely feel like there were times where we just functioned and didn't really, you know, we did all the things that family should do.
Yeah.
We had dinner together. We went out together. We did this. We did that. We went shopping. We, you know, but I didn't feel like we ever really talked a lot about our feelings and stuff. I don't know if this is a really silly thing to say when it's such a comfortable life, but.
No, hang on. But there is no such thing as a comfortable life. There are being alive and existing presents itself with challenges, and
yeah,
it is when you go through something really difficult, you can appreciate that most of these other issues you have don't matter. But it's hard to appreciate those things if you haven't gone through the difficult part.
So
not being able to communicate clearly causes potentially causes problems. So don't dismiss that.
Definitely. And it only happened later. I mean, as I got older, we've spoken about it before, but I wear my heart on my sleeve a lot more now. I've always been quite a sort of emotionally intelligent person, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm way more now than I used to be. And as a family, we do talk a lot more openly about our feelings. And, you know, even now we'll sit and watch a film together and like someone will find it emotional and talk about why. And it's not like a deep and meaningful conversation. We're just like throwaway comments, but we're way more open than we ever used to be. And I think partly that comes with maturity, but I think also it's partly because my sister and I have come away from that situation and lived our lives a bit and now feel more open to do that. And my dad and my mum, particularly my dad, is so much more open to sort of emotional discussions now. Not that he closed off those, but he just didn't engage in them. We didn't have those chats.
Yeah, no, nor do I. And a lot of that's typical of men, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But as long as you have you do have an outlet, then, or anyone listening to this, everyone has one parent. And do you know what? It's good to have one parent who can do the emotional stuff. And the other parent, you know that there is absolutely no risk that there's going to be any emotional discussion. Yeah. I find that's a good balance. Me and my dad, we talk about football, music, and we drink whiskey, and he moans about the news. Right? That's our relationship, pretty much, and Spurs. And him fucking suddenly figuring out how to forward stuff on WhatsApp. It's unbelievable, the amount of shit he sends me now. But my mum, I've always been able to talk, always emotional stuff. And
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yeah, it's been much more open, and I'm lucky. I'm really lucky that I have both those things.
Yeah. I think mine's very similar, incredibly similar, actually. Although my dad's quite a gossip. He likes to be at the centre of gossip and information, and will quite regularly, like, my dad's very bitchy as well, incredibly bitchy. That's definitely where I get my bitchy side from.
Right.
We'll frequently have sort of quite bitchy conversations about, you know, other family members and stuff.
Do you enjoy when you're being bitchy? Like, do you feel good?
My dad cracks me up when he's in that zone. Yeah. When I stand back and think about what he's doing, I think, Dad, that's a bit off. Come on, you know, give him a break. But he just likes to get things off his chest.
Yeah.
Nowadays, anyway, really loves to get it off his chest.
There's no harm in doing that, as long as he's not influencing you too much on the person. Like,
No.
But generally, just getting things off your chest is fine.
Yeah. I enjoy those conversations we have. I enjoy that part of his personality. It's funny. It's fun to me.
Do you ever
even
tell
though it's not necessarily healthy?
Do you ever tell your dad that you love him?
Do I tell him I love him? I don't sort of stand looking into his eyes and say, "Dad, I love you." As I leave their house, quite often Mum will say, "Love you, I love you," and I'll say, "I love you," and I mean it to both of them. I won't be saying it to Mum, but
yeah.
And sometimes at the end of a phone call, there might be an "I love you" at the end of the call. Christmas cards, birthday cards. I sometimes write something a little bit more soppy. It's easier in writing, isn't it?
Yes.
Then, you know, at things like, so for example, my grandpa's funeral, there was a lot of sort of outpouring of emotion there. And, you know, I think we appreciate how lucky we've been. You know, my parents have done everything for me and my sister. They really have. And they would do more if they needed to. They're so kind. They're such kind, lovely people. And I'm so lucky to have had them. You know, I think all the people that have more difficult upbringings, and I just, yeah, it almost makes me feel guilty for it, you know, because it's been so comfortable. But we're not like lovey-dovey. How about you?
I think we've said it twice. I've said it twice to my dad, or we've exchanged that.
How did it go down?
It was weird. He knows. He knows. I know. For whatever reason, it just wasn't said, so it didn't matter. So I just never did, it would be weird. As he gets older, I can hear him wanting to, I think.
Yeah.
I can hear him sort of on the tip of his tongue, and I don't mind. If he wanted to, I'd say it back, but we know. So it doesn't mean anything just to utter the words. But
sorry to interrupt.
During the rough lockdown, he's become a lot more. Yeah, you can tell he's anxious and really wants to see us all.
Yeah, it has been tough. I think also you learn a lot about what your parents think of you from what they tell other people. So for example, my mum and dad are very proud of the fact that I've built a Twitter following and I've been on, you know, radio shows that they listen to, you know, they're very proud of that. They think it's amazing. They think it's an incredible achievement and they tell all their friends, and I find it quite embarrassing that they tell all their friends about it, but
yeah,
it's a nice thing that they're proud of me. And they want to boast, look at the things my son's done. It's, you know, they're really impressed by it. And that's nice. I feel like you can learn a lot from how they portray you to their friends.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad's really proud of the Fighting Cock and stuff. And when the Fighting Cock's a Spurs podcast I produce, and when we go down Spurs, people, because they listen to the podcast, they might hear my voice and want to come and say hello because they listen to it. And my dad loves that. He absolutely,
bless him.
He introduces himself as Flav's dad.
Oh, bless him. And our 15 minutes are up.